Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 92, the big finish episode. Yep, finished. Hidden stars. Got pictures at the WordPress site. That's http://theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. Anyway, today is Friday, July 20th, 2012. I don't know why I didn't post this yesterday. I was ready to go, and then it just sort of slipped to my mind. So I'm doing it today. I'll be a Thursday girl again soon. That's my big plan. Anyway, good week. Lots done. I'm currently working on the back of Rick's Star quilt. I ask for advice later in the podcast about quilting. Right now, I've got two of the sort, let's call them signature blocks, mine and Leslie's. These are the blocks that say thanks for being a great teacher, leader, etc. And I am going to, well, I talk about what I'm going to do. But that's what I'm working on this morning. And what's weird, I realize once I kind of finish with this, I'm waiting for the two other blocks, and I'm not going to get one until early next week. And my mom, hi mom, is making a label. Thank you, mom. So I don't know when this is all going to get done. But that's neither here nor there. The thing is, it's like once it's done, what am I doing? I am behind on my block of the month blocks, so I'll probably do some of those this weekend. I need a new project. Also need to finish quilting the hexagon garden quilt. I will, but I need a new starting project, a new project to start. I am thinking about doing a bedspread. Is that like sacrilege to say bedspread instead of quilt? A quilt for my bed. So that would be a queen size quilt. But I want to do traditional quilt. You know, I saw this picture in the latest issue, I think it's the latest issue of Country Living Magazine. It was a red and white quilt. I'm thinking this would probably be blue and white. But it was a bear claw. Is that right? It's not bear paw. It's bear claw but pattern. And I've done bear claw blocks. And I just like the way that looks. Sort of a white background and then blue. Not a solid blue. I would find the blue I really liked. But I like that idea. So I'm thinking about that. And that would, I don't know how easy it would be. I mean, I think it would be more time-consuming than difficult. So I'm thinking about that. And I still have to get back to my quilt sampler quilt with Jay. And I keep saying that, and it's not happening. This has been a weird year. Not bad. Just strange in terms of time and how things have unfolded. My neighbor down the street, Amy, wants me to help her and her daughters make a quilt. I loaned her Gwen Marston's Liberated quilt making too. I just had a feeling that they, knowing them, that they would like those quilts, and they really did. So, and they picked out several, all of which are pretty easy to do. So I think when they get back from vacation, we're going to go down Thimble Pleasures and start looking at fabric. So that'll be fun. I think that's all I have to tell you. I've got a few comments from last week since I just posted it on Sunday. I haven't gotten a ton of comments, but that's fine. We've got to get back into our rhythm together, back into our podcasting routine. I got some very nice, sympathetic notes about my gut, which I hate to say, still a little cranky. In any event, thank you for your care and your concern and your good wishes. I want to say thanks to Cheryl, to Quilt Caroline, to AJ Dub, to Vanessa, Quilt and Jenny, and Tori. I think that's it. Let me double check. Yes. And I appreciate y'all taking the time to comment. And if you would like to comment on this episode, come on over to either offkilterquilt.podbean.com or theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, or you can drop me an email at fdal@nc.rr.com. And AJW, will you drop me an email? I have something I want to discuss with you. It's good. When someone says something like that, you're like, what? What did I do? It's like, no, it's a nice thing. So if you get a chance, when you fdowell@nc.rr.com. Anyway, I think that's it for my introduction. We're just going to go right into these quilt diaries. I hope you have fun listening to them. I had fun doing them. I'm very excited to be back in the saddle, on the pony, and riding against the wind. No. With the wind. I'm riding with the wind, not against the wind. That's a Bob Seger song. Takes me back. All right, here we go. Quilt Diary, Day one, Sunday, July 15th. I just finally got episode 91, the last episode, posted today. I finished it up yesterday, and then I tried to export it as an MP3 and couldn't do it. So got the man to sit down with me today and show me how to do it. I have upgraded Audacity. I'm Audacity 2.0 now, so that's why that took so long. Anyway, just have a couple things on my mind, so I thought I would go ahead and share, since I'm actually making quilts and really enjoying it. One, I'm trying to arrange Rick's quilt, Rick's star quilt, the stars. I'm trying to arrange the blocks, and can I tell you, this has been the hardest one I've ever done. And, you know, when I did the bento box quilt that I made for my mother-in-law at Christmas, that was hard too, and you guys were really helpful on that. Unfortunately, I think probably by the time I post this episode, I will have gotten it down, which is not unfortunate, but unfortunately, I think that's too late for your advice on the best way to arrange these stars. It's hard, I think, because they're not neutrals, but they are not, these colors are a little more muted, and what I'm working with, primarily browns, tans, blacks, very dark navy, almost black, and then various reds, maroon, no bright poppy reds, but more orangey reds, brick reds, maroon reds, and really the main thing is trying to make sure that no spot on the quilt is either too light or too dark, that there's contrast working throughout the quilt. And I think I've almost got it, but boy, I wish I could get your advice. If you have any sort of post-quilt advice, next time you have these sort of colors, let me know, because it's been a little frustrating. Although now, come to think of it, thinking back on the bento box, that really took a long time, and as you know, I've made some bad drafts, but fortunately, y'all gave me feedback that was helpful. But that's just been interesting to me. And in fact, last night I found myself getting, I think I was just tired, you know, and it wasn't like I was at the point where I'm ripping all these blocks off the design board, I can't stand it, but just feeling like, wow, my brain is tired and cannot do this. But today I've done a little bit more, and it's as I suspected. It's like you have to just keep walking in, you know, and looking and seeing how it affects you. But I don't know what that but is for. That's just what you have to do. And so every few hours come in and see, okay, how's this looking? And squinting and using the tool that's part of my color strips. What is that called? Who knows? But anyway, looking at it through the green vinyl and the red vinyl. It's not vinyl, it's plastic. Can you tell I'm still a little bit? Today I've been funky in my head a little bit. Just more tired, more missing the caffeine than ever. But I also think it's just because when you are subsisting on a diet of chicken noodle soup and crackers, after a while it's like your body's like, your brain's like, I could use a little more fuel, a little more variety. And I'm like, I'm not going to give it to you because the results are unpleasant. Oh, I can't wait till the lab results are back, and I'm really praying, I really am, that there will be something concrete. Here is what is making you sick. Here is the drug to take. Yay, it's all over. Yay. Again, I should really emphasize, I don't feel that bad. Today's funny because I do feel tired, but I think I'm feeling tired because of my unvaried diet more than anything. Anyway, so that's one thing I'm working on. The other thing, and this goes back to our quilt psychology, and I think partly it's because last night I was tired. So I finished quilting Hidden Stars. Yay! And then it was just like, I'm like thinking about the binding. I'm like, oh, Lord. And binding, I think, is one of those things that, at least for me, until you get there, you forget that it's not, there are multiple steps involved. Right, you've got to cut out the strips. You have to figure your number of strips, which is actually very easy to do. And then you've got to cut out the strips, and then you've got to sew together the strips. And by the way, I think I have finally figured out how to do that without messing up. I say this with fingers and toes crossed because it's one of those things you say, and then the next time you do it, you're like, I can't believe how much I've messed this up. But I think I finally understand how to do it, so that I don't have one, right side up, wrong side up kind of deal, which I've had often in the past, and now it seems to finally sort of has kicked in, so that I understand intuitively what I'm doing with that. But so there's that, and then you have to iron your, you sew the all together, and then you've got to iron it, and have it, and then you've got to machine sew it all the way around before you hand sew it. And I think there's part of me that my brain, when I'm way far away from binding, just has that image of sitting in a comfortable chair, watching a good TV show, and hand quilting, or hand sewing. I enjoy sewing on binding. Is that weird? I know that's probably something that a lot of people are like, I hate, but everyone has parts of the process that are not their favorite parts. I don't mind sewing on the binding. I find it kind of fun. But that's where my brain jumps to. And it forgets all the intermediate steps of cutting the binding fabric and sewing it together and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And this time, amazingly, when I attached the binding, and I'm still in that process of machine sewing it on, but usually I do it wrong at least twice before I get it right. But I think because the last couple times I've done it wrong, like started by sewing it to the back as opposed to sewing it to the sewing it to the front and having it all wrong. I think I've made that mistake. I feel like I'm at this place where I've made enough mistakes. This is the beauty. You make so many mistakes that at some point you're just like, oh yeah, this is, you know what the mistakes are. And so this time I actually got it laid out right, got it pinned right, and I'm almost done. And so tonight, when we sit down and watch Foyle's War, which is our big thing now, here's the only thing about Foyle's War I should tell you. So this is the show we're watching. Wonderful show. It's Netflix, instant cue, instant download. Love the main actor. I think his name is Michael something. Lovely. And good show. But, it's almost movie length every time. So you're sitting down at 10 and you're thinking, well, great, 10 to 11. And then I'll go up at 11 and read and fall asleep. Except usually it's like 11:47. By which point I have fallen asleep several times during the viewing. And the man has to fill me in. What's happened, or I have to actually watch by myself the next day to figure out everything that I missed. So that is the only thing about Foyle's War, is that the episodes are quite long, and if you still have younger or youngish children around who have to, it's not that we couldn't watch it while Will was still up and coming down to get his water and doing whatever, but it's for the most part that last night there were a couple sort of not overly graphic violent scenes, but there was a scene where someone gets shot in the head, and you see the blood splatter on the, and you also, there was a scene where someone is pushed from a building. Those were a little graphic for me, and way too graphic for Will, but but it's hard to get going while Will is still up. Jack is, off in Jackland. So, and he could watch it if he wanted. He's got a much less squeamish stomach than I do. So, I am looking forward to that, to sitting down, watching Foyle's War tonight, and hand sewing the binding on, and almost being done with this quilt. I can't believe it. I never thought the day would come. Other things this weekend, we have been canning. The man canned blueberry jam. Now, we are just overloaded with blueberry jam at this point because I canned blueberry jam from blueberries that I had frozen last summer. I did this in May, and I did it in part to have goodbye gifts for the teachers, thank you gifts for the teachers. I make the boys write thank you notes to their main teachers. Jack's got a lot of teachers, but he has to write one to his advisor and gave him some jam. Gave her some jam. Oh, what a wonderful advisor Jack had. That was such a happy, happy pairing. I'm really hoping he's going to be in eighth grade. And eighth grade can be, I think, I don't know. We could have a debate, which is worse, seventh or eighth. But he had a good seventh grade year, and I hope he'll have a great eighth grade year. And when he gets to the upper school, life is going to be gravy. It is, because it's going to be challenging for him in the best way. I'm very excited about that. Anyway, so I made some jam. And I think we probably have 4 half pints of that jam left. And then the man bought, gosh, I don't know, a big bucket of blueberries from a coworker who has blueberry bushes. We have blueberry bushes, but they're not mature. I think in the next year or two, we ourselves will be giving blueberries away. He actually bought a really sizable bucket. I don't know, that sounds huge. You know, just, but I mean, a gallon? Maybe 2 gallons, seems like a lot to me, of blueberries from a coworker for $10. And the man, wanted to learn how to can blueberry jam, so I taught him how, and he did it. He's actually, when he was a kid, one time, his mom made grape jelly, and the man loves grape jelly. And he has very happy memories. He thinks she only did it one time. So he's hoping that maybe some point this summer at the State Farmers Market he can get some muscadine grapes, which is the kind of grapes that are grown here in North Carolina, and can make grape jelly. So I'm looking out the window. It's 6 o'clock on Sunday, and I need to actually get going on dinner here in a second. But he has been out picking his lima beans and crowder peas, which he's freezing, not canning. He's really getting into this. Today, been making tomato paste, which I'm going to freeze. I was going to can it, but it cooked down to not enough worth canning. And I think what I'm going to do is freeze it in a pan, put some saran wrap down, and then freeze it and then cut it. So freeze it maybe halfway, so it's not all the way froze, and then get in there and cut it like in tablespoon-esque cubes, so that in the fall, or whenever, when I need tomato paste, I can grab some from the freezer. Well, the man has come in. That's all I have to say for now, but I thought I'd say it more soon. Quilt Diary, Day 2, Wednesday, July 18th, 2012. Sitting on the back porch, the AC just kicked on. When I came out, it wasn't on, and that's nicer because you can hear the birds, but now you can hear the AC. Woo! It is a beautiful day. It's a hot day, but it's not 105, so we can no longer complain about the weather, even if we were the sort of people who did complain about the weather, which I am not. It's been a good week. Travis just sees something and is going to kill it and rip it apart. Have you seen pictures of Travis? He's really not a ripping it apart kind of dog. I have felt okay, still waiting for my lab results about my cranky gut, but I have the feeling it's kind of getting better. That may be wishful thinking. And the fact is, yesterday I ate one corn chip. One, ladies. Half of one. Small. And like my stomach was busted for 2 hours. It was just like complaining. Like, why have you done this to me? Which probably, maybe it's just gotten a heightened consciousness about junk food now. I don't know. So I haven't tried that today, and I've just been totally chill, totally chicken soup, and we're good for now. But I feel fine otherwise, and that's good. I have pieced together the top for Rick's Star Quilt. I'm working on getting the gals from Bible study to do their blocks. Leslie and Kat have their blocks. Cricket, I think, is stopping by tonight to pick up her block and her pen. I have done mine, so I'm going to begin experimenting. Now, I have to tell you, I went to Thimble Pleasures today. You know, I was talking big junk talk, maybe just the last Quilt Diary, or certainly if not, then the last episode, how I was going to do really modern style piecing, funky, liberated piecing for the back. And then I thought, you know, I just really want to finish this quilt. And, you know, I did that for the Hexagon Garden Quilt, and I love it. I think it's beautiful. But I also had lots of scraps left from the project. And this quilt, Rick Star Quilt, is made from a layer cake. So I don't have any scraps left whatsoever. So I went to Thimble Pleasures, bought the backing fabric, which I like. It is a William Morris fabric. It's another one of these Barbara Brackman fabrics, Repro. Thimble Pleasures, I guess it's a new line, and Thimble Pleasures just started carrying it in. It's like $11 a yard, so we're starting to inch up there price-wise. And it's a brown, it's a leaf, it's beautiful. I'll just do a picture. I can't describe it. I'll do a picture of it. And it works beautifully with the quilt. I actually went in with, first of all, I am so proud of myself because before I went in, I A, measured the quilt top, B, got out my handy dandy quilt calculator and figured out how much fabric I would need for a 5-inch border and the backing. Well, I got there, and right away, I just found a salesperson. They're not really salespeople. That doesn't sound right. Found a worker. Found a quilt worker, and said, "Can you help me?" And I said, "I'm looking for border fabric and backing fabric." And we looked at different borders and just weren't finding what we were looking for. We were getting closer and looked at some really beautiful fabric, but couldn't find anything that was just right. And so another woman who worked at the shop came up and we asked her, "What do you think?" And she said, "I don't think it needs a border." Well, you know, that was kind of music to my ears. But once she said, it's like, yeah, because it was funny, as the first woman and I were looking, the first quilt worker and I were looking, you know, I just thought, this is going to be really hard. It was going to be hard to find a print, certainly. And in fact, my mind was leaning toward maybe we're just going to need a solid. We're going to do a border. And then when the other woman said, "You don't need a border," I'm like, "You know what? You really don't." So I got the backing fabric and thread, a multicolored thread, beautiful metler. And all I need now is to put the back together. But so I bought 3 yards of this fabric. And I've got to cut it up anyway, so right now I'm trying to puzzle out what I'm going to do. Other than, I'll cut it and make sure, I don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't figured out the puzzle. Because one idea I had to make the blocks, which are that we're writing on, which are 8-inch blocks, and they are in this, not darker than cream, let's just call it a very light tan fabric. And it's just, you might call it natural. And it's a Kona solid. Might do actually a double border on each of those, like the neutral, the backing fabric, and neutral, and then set each of those kind of wonkily into the backing fabric. This could be a huge error. But the way I envision it, it's kind of cool. And it, in some ways, mirrors the front of the quilt, which in some ways is very traditional looking. The fabrics are repro-esque type fabrics, right? They're very, but the stars are wonky. So it's got that nice kind of tension that I tend to like between traditional and modern, or traditional and wonky. And so so this backing fabric, also repro, I don't even know what I'm talking about. But the William Morris, that, ancient, old-fashioned, whatever it is. But then to add some wonkiness to that, which would mirror the front. I'm going to try it, I don't want to be too cavalier. It's only fabric, because it's fabric that costs, I think, $11.80 a yard. So it's not like, well, I'll just, if I mess up, I'll just go buy $35 more. I'm not made of money. So, but I think I can work something out. I'm sure I'm going to give it a try. I would like it to have a little something going on in the back. Gosh, you know what I just thought about, though? I hadn't thought about this. It's the quilting. Quilting through the backing blocks, the written-on blocks. I don't know. I may just have to do it. I can't think of a way not to do it. Can you? I don't know. If you listen to this, I don't think I will be quilting until early next week. So think about it, and if you've got an idea, get back to me ASAP, okay? Sherry Walker Lady, thinking about you in particular, because you usually have good, fast return ideas. But anybody. Do you think that's going to be strange to quilt through the written blocks? I think it will be okay. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this? Oh, I know what I wanted to tell you about. The other thing was, okay, so I did piece the top. It was an interesting process. Not the piecing itself, but figuring out where to put the blocks. Because, you've got 42 blocks, all similar but different colors, variations on of reds and browns and tans. And at first I was very cavalier about it, like, oh, just, you know, whatever. And then, you know, I mean, I messed around with it some to make sure there were contrasts. And then I did what I always do when I've got something on the design board before I piece it, is I take a picture and I print it out just on paper. So I have a guide, because it's very easy, of course, to completely forget what you had in mind. So I did that, and when I got looked at the printout, it was interesting. Some of the red blocks were reading very orange, and others were reading burgundy. And that helped me go, oh, you know, it was very helpful to see that, because then I saw that I had a lot of the more orangey reds clumped together. So the first thing I did was just redistributed those. And then I took another picture, but instead of printing it out, I just looked at the screen on the back of my camera. And that's not actually in a lot of ways, not the best way to look at a picture, except that it helped me see the contrast very easily. And so I made some more changes. I saw that I had some sort of clumps of dark blocks that I needed to redistribute. And I probably went through that process, redistributing, rearranging, taking the picture, looking at the picture on the screen, probably 4 or 5 times before I got to a place where, like, this is right, and took the picture. When I looked at the printout, was happy with it and felt like this is it, this is good. And the interesting thing is, at that point, I started seeing patterns that have been established by rearranging. I had not deliberately done patterns, but there was a lot of mirroring going on from one side of the quilt to the other and up and down, and I thought that was really cool. It was magic. It was like the quilt block fairy came down. I just thought that was really neat. And it made me think again of the bento box quilt, where I did spend a lot of time working on this box. And I think was more conscious of creating patterns. And I don't, with that, I think for some reason with this, again, as I said, I approached it with a very cavalier attitude that was revised. You know, once I started seeing that, yeah, it actually does matter. You know, it's not just anything goes, beyond making sure that there's enough contrasting blocks, that there actually can be more done. There can be more thought put into this. That's what actually got me making the changes. So interesting. It was just interesting to get to that point and go, oh, wow, there's patterns here. There's mirroring here. There's all kinds of neat stuff going on that I did, that was the result of all this rearranging. So I just thought I would share that have something to share. I'm just so happy to have quilty news to share with you. I think tonight, the other thing is I finished quilting. I can't remember if I had finished quilting whenever I talked last. When was that? No idea now. But in case I could go listen, but I have stopped listening to myself. It's enough just to do the talking. You do the listening. Let me know if I say anything really egregious and dumb. But I did. So I finished quilting Hidden Stars. I've done the binding, and in fact, I'm in the process of sewing the binding on. It's possible I could have that done tonight. New show. It's a mini series. Told you about Foyle's War. Yes, I have. The man has been working at night, and so we haven't been able to watch our Foyle's War. So the other night I started watching the Foresight Saga, which is a mini-series. It's like 5 or 6 shows. I've only watched the first one, but I'm hooked. Can't wait to see what happens. So that's Netflix. It's instant download. Put it in your queue. I'm really enjoying it. It is British. I'm not sure the time period. I'm not good with Victorian versus Edwardian. So is it roughly Downton Abbey-ish, like pre-World? I would say it was pre-World War I. but early 20th century. Very interesting, good soap opera, well done stuff. So I would recommend that. Anyway, I plan on tonight sitting down and hopefully having a couple hours to put on the binding, and I should have it done. And that's going to be an amazing thing. It feels good to have some work done, to have some finished stuff, and that means I need to get onto to Hexagon Garden, finish quilting that. I also am way behind my block of the month. I think I'm three months behind now. So that will be kind of fun, just to do something different, to have some different things going on. I think that's it for my quilting news. I guess I'm going to finish up here. I will post this tomorrow, and I hope I will be posting, I will post a picture at the quilt top for Rick's star quilt, but also hope to be posting a finished quilt, Hidden Stars. And that will all just be good and nice. I have to say, I'm feeling a little out of it. Will and I spent 3 hours this afternoon doing a paint-by-number painting. I got this for him last week. I thought it would be something. I thought it was a kid's kit I was getting him. Wasn't. But we have just a picture of a dog. Will loves dogs. And it was really fun. I told him I would start doing it with him, and then I might go and do other stuff. But we ended up just working on it. We watched the first Harry Potter. We're doing a Harry Potter marathon. I guess tonight we may be watching the second Harry Potter. Will can only do the first four. And I think he can do the fourth one. I'm not positive. I'll have to check into that. I think he's read the book, though. So anyway, that was a fun project to do, an interesting way to think about color. A lot of shading going on. We actually had to mix colors. There were, I think, 12 colors in all, and some of them you just dipped straight into the pot, but other ones we had to mix to get sort of shadings and tones and all sorts of stuff. It was good. I think I need stronger glasses than I have. I think that was a real, like, oh man, I think I need to go up to 1.5. So that was fun. And now that was another reason why I'm sitting on the porch, is I had 3 hours in the air conditioning and was starting to feel slightly unhuman. But now I'm on the porch with the dog and the sound of the air conditioning. But I'm going to leave off, and I'm going to say farewell. Still don't have a closing line. Because you know what? Once I say goodbye, I never think about it again. One day it's just going to come to me. Maybe in a dream it'll come to me. I don't know. But one day, I'll have something clever to say. But until then, quilt long and prosper. No, that's Sam's. Until then, have fun. Do your work. Get your quilting done. It's good for your soul. Talk to you soon. Bye.